Before we go into the message, let's just pause for a time of prayer. Father, I thank you for bringing us together this morning. Lord, I know we've been doing a lot of different things this week, and I ask that you would just draw our hearts and our minds to you right now. Pray that you would quiet our hearts before you so that we can hear from you. I pray that you would guide me as I try and share what you've laid on my heart this morning. Lord, may it be from you. And I pray that you would speak through the words that you give me. So, Lord, we just ask that you'd have your way with us right here, right now. Whatever it is you want to accomplish, Lord, we ask that your will would be done. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the title of my message this morning is The God Who Is Near. And I'm wondering whether God feels near to you right now. I want you to take a moment and look at the person sitting next to you, or close to you if there's nobody right next to you. And take a moment just to greet that person, however you think is appropriate. Handshake. If it's your wife, I suppose you could give her a kiss too, maybe. All right. So my question is, does God feel as near as when that occurs with you? Somebody like that, right next beside you, next to you. Does he feel near to you? Now, we can get pretty good about discussing what the Bible says, talking about theology, and getting an intellectual understanding of who God is. And it's vitally important, which is why we preach, why we have classes, why we do small group discussions about the Word. But without a personal encounter with the living God, theology really has no meaning, no life, no purpose. This evening, I'm meeting with some community youth, and I'm addressing two questions that they've asked me to talk about. Those two questions are, why do I need Christianity, and how do I know Christianity is real? Now, I wonder how you would answer those questions for them. In fact, it would be interesting for you to come along and just kind of give your reasons and what you would say to this group of teenagers from the London community. What would you say to them? I can give them some strong intellectual reasons, some historical reasons, historical proof, scientific proof, good philosophical reasons, good moral reasons. And all these are intriguing and interesting and motivating. But those really aren't the bottom line for me. The bottom line is that I have had an encounter with the living God. That truth of Scripture has become real to me in real life. God has met me. That's what I'm excited about. It's not only truth that is out there that I can observe and learn about, but it's truth that I can understand and know personally. I can know God. Isn't that amazing? I can have a relationship with God. Now, one example I thought of, too, is a way we maybe in talking about this question would be if you look at marriage, for example, and if I were to answer that question for a group of teenagers, why should I consider marriage? And I could go down the list of things. Well, this is tax time of year, right? So it's good tax deduction. It works out well. You file joint taxes. If your spouse has a good job with good insurance, you get good insurance benefits. Pretty cool. You can legally have sex. That's pretty cool. According to the Bible, that's where sex takes place, in the marriage. Children are a result of marriage, a wonderful blessing. And we could go on. I don't know what your reasons would be for what you would say to a group of youth of why they should consider marriage. But while all these are true, and some of them ultimately influence my decision, the reason I got married is because Doris and I fell in love with each other. And we decided that we wanted to spend the rest of our lives together. That's ultimately the reason. We could also be pretty good about doing things in our Christian walk. How God wants us to live in this world, what He wants us to do, how we should act. And we can get pretty excited about all the things that we can do, the good things that we can accomplish for God. Especially if we've grown up in the church, I think it can be an easy thing for us to focus on doing work and bury ourselves in activity, good activity. But really, work without relationship is just simply legalism. And this morning, I'm not going to talk about deep theology. I'm not real good at that anyways. I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I simply want to remind us all that this God we talk about, in deep terms, is a God who desires to have a deep relationship with us. He is a God who is near. I know that oftentimes we don't feel this way. I don't always feel this way. But we're not simply talking about a feeling this morning. We're talking about the truth of who God is, as revealed in Scripture. He is a God who is near. I want to focus our attention on a psalm of David. And David gives us some of the most vivid accounts of what it's like to have an intimate relationship with God. Now, I want to look at Psalm 23, which is very familiar to most of us. And so if you would turn to Psalm 23 and just follow along with me as we look at this morning. Follow along as I read Psalm 23. I'm going to read the first three verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. I want to stop there for now. Before we go too far, I think we need to clarify what we're talking about here and who we're talking about. God is the shepherd, and those who are following Him are His sheep. And if we look at the New Testament, Jesus brings greater clarity to this by calling Himself the Good Shepherd, and that His sheep are the ones who know His voice and listen to Him. His sheep are the ones who follow Him. And so the sheep we're talking about here are those who are followers of God, believers in His Son, who is described as the chief shepherd. So we need to clarify that before we get into what this looks like for us. But the point that David makes in this psalm is that God cares about our every need. He is not unaware of what you and I are experiencing. He knows about it. He is like a shepherd who keeps close track of his sheep. In Isaiah 40, we have this description, which is a beautiful description to me. It says, "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young." What a beautiful description of God the shepherd for us. And I'm wondering, have you experienced God in that way? If you are a follower of God, if you are a believer in His Son and are one of His sheep, then this is a truth of who He is and how He cares about you and how He cares about me. How He cares about His sheep. I remember vividly a couple years ago dealing with the shock of my mother's sudden death. She had an accident in front of her house and was killed instantly. And I remember my brother calling me soon after it happened from his cell phone. And he was standing out there by the highway, and they wouldn't let him get very close to the accident scene. And I remember him just talking about just, he was broken up. He saw my mom laying there on the highway. And just the picture of that. I remember the anguish in his voice. Well, most of you have heard this story. And then while we were up in Michigan for the funeral, my daughter had a motorcycle accident. And so we were down at the hospital with her and trying to get back to my home area for the viewing, and it was just kind of a big mess. And I remember as Doris and I were driving back from the hospital to go to my mom's funeral, I just remember feeling God's presence in such a way that I had never experienced before. I couldn't explain it. I don't know that I could tell somebody what that's like even, but I just remember it felt like God's arms were around us during that time. We felt his touch. We felt his touch in a lot of ways. Directly, we felt it through the concern of people who came. Some people drove up from this area to support us and to be there for us. People called us, emailed us. There were a lot of different ways that we felt this experience of this shepherd gathering us, his lambs, in his arms and holding us. This is the God that we know. This is the God we serve. It is so amazing to me because immediately after that passage in Isaiah 40, God is described as the one who created the universe. That he measured it with his hand. That he measured the universe with his hand. And to think about the fact that that great God cares about the intimate details of my life is astounding to me. He cares about the smallest details of our life. He is our shepherd and we are his sheep. He knows our needs better than we do ourselves. He provides for them. With him as our shepherd, we do not need to worry or be anxious. And I love this picture that David paints of the green pastures and the quiet waters. Maybe it's because I am so much of a nature person. That's where I almost feel the closest to God, is when I am out in nature and there's nobody around. It seems like those are the places that I feel somewhat, sometimes the closest. And maybe David did as well, and maybe that's why he used this picture of being led into green pastures and lying down in green pastures of peace and rest. Is this the God that you understand and know? It goes far beyond any intellectual understanding. I thought I knew God pretty well up until the point where I experienced this difficulty in my life, going through this loss of my mother and this accident that happened to my daughter. But I experienced him in a whole new way during that time. In Psalm 34, David says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." And Peter tells us to cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Last Sunday, I thought about this. I was watching from a distance as a young lady from our congregation here was having a difficult time. And I watched as these other women, these girls, gathered around her and prayed for her and shared with her. It was just a beautiful thing for me to watch from a distance and see that happen. And see how God uses people, his body, to gather around and care for each of us. It's a beautiful thing to experience that. And I've had the same experience. I have gotten phone calls out of the blue at just the right time. People have given me verses that have spoken directly to things that I was struggling with in my life. I received text messages. God has used people in an amazing way in my life, in touching me and caring for me. So God cares about our every need. And let's continue reading in verse 3. David says, "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." How else is God intimately involved in our lives? Well, He walks with us through difficult times, and I've already talked about some of that. He is the one who gives us the strength to resist temptation. It says, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness." He's the one that gives us the strength to resist those temptations that we face. His word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. His Holy Spirit lives inside of us and shows us how to live. Shows us how to understand the Scriptures and how they apply to our lives. But you know, here David doesn't pretend that we will not face difficult times. Sometimes we have to walk through the valley, and we often don't know why. We live in a fallen world, a world where God has allowed people the free choice to choose good or evil. And we suffer from some of those choices, our own choices as well as other people's choices. God has given Satan a limited amount of freedom in this world for a short period of time. Sometimes God delivers us from the valley, and other times we have to walk through it. Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world." For whatever we face in this world, we do not have to be afraid, because our God walks with us step by step. Nothing can separate us from His love. We can trust in Him. And the reality is that we have nothing to be afraid of. When we face evil in our own lives, our own sin, God is there to guide us in paths of righteousness. When we face the evil of this world, it can seem overwhelming sometimes, but God protects us. He comforts us. All is not lost, so we need not be dismayed or discouraged or fear evil. For God comforts and protects us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And ultimately, we know that the battle is won, that the victory is ours, and someday God will put everything right. Let's finish the chapter, verse 5. It says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Even in the midst of our troubles, God showers us with blessings. He invites us to a feast with Him. He anoints our head with oil, which is a sign of blessing. He fills our cup to overflowing. And I'm wondering, are you getting the picture of that? That God blesses us. This close relationship we've been talking about is one that lasts for eternity. We will live in His house forever. And when I think of that phrase, it reminds me of my own children that are always asking for their friends to come over to their house and spend the night with them. Or they want to go to their friend's house to spend the night. It happens a lot. And it makes sense that this intimate relationship is described this way, that we dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There is no question of the intimacy that is implied here. It reminds me also of what Jesus said, that He is going to prepare a place for us. That, what did He say after that? That where He is, there we may be also. And this really is the end game, people. Whether you understand it or not, whether I understand it or not, this is the ultimate thing, to be with God, to be in the presence of Jesus. And really, the wonder upon all wonders is that God, this God of the universe, wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. In Revelation, Jesus says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." And in Jesus' prayer to his Father in John 17, he says this, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And my prayer for you this morning is that you would experience this truth in your life, that God is near. That we wouldn't settle for simply an intellectual faith or settle for something that is just could maybe be called religion or even settle for a list of good moral values. He stands at the door and knocks. He wants to be with you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to bless you. Let's pray together. God, I'm so thankful this morning that we can have an intimate relationship with you, that you desire us to be near to you. You are near to us. Whether we understand it or feel it, you are near to us. And Lord, I pray that each day that we would discover this truth more and more and understand it, that we would draw into this relationship that you offer to us, that we would rest in you, in your care, that we would recognize your blessings on our life, that we would not be afraid when we face difficult times or evil in the world. Lord, help us to depend completely on you and to understand the awesomeness of a relationship with you, how wonderful that is, how beautiful it is. Help us to understand that. And I thank you for David here and the life that he lived, the relationship that he had with you that we can learn from. And Father, I pray that as we go into this week, that we would draw near to you, not just in knowledge and understanding. Yes, that's definitely a part of how we come to know you. But that we would come to know you in a truly relational, intimate way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.